Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, each and everyone who are joining in with us today. We welcome you to Blog Talk Radio. We welcome you to Facebook Live via Purpose Kingdom Network. We thank and we bless God for each and every one of you who are joining in with us this evening. Now, I must admit, I'm really, really excited about the word that God is bringing forth today. I know that it must be a powerful word because you would not believe the battles that we went through to get on the air this evening. But bless God, we are here. Hallelujah, God. So tonight we are going to be coming from the book of Proverbs. We're actually going to be in Proverbs chapter 5, and we're going to be looking at that book in its entirety. However, to look at Proverbs chapter 5, we can't even really begin to look at that chapter without first talking about who wrote that chapter, why they wrote that chapter, and what was going on with them or what they had went through before they wrote Proverbs chapter 5. So again, I am just really excited about what God is doing, what God is going to do, how he is going to move. So what we're going to do is we're going to knock out all the official business first, and then we're going to read the scripture, and we're going to jump right into God's word after prayer. Amen. So welcome to this, the 1,395th episode, hallelujah, God, of Purpose Kingdom Network. This is Bible Study for Life. I am your host, Pastor Talene Daly. I will be with you for the next hour. Amen. And again, we are broadcasting live now via Facebook Live and simultaneously with Blog Talk Radio at www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. Please send out a text message. Tell your friends they can join us via Blog Talk. They can join us via Facebook. And if you would like to join in on our conversation this evening, you can call 319-527-6091. We would love to hear from you. We would love and we encourage everyone to jump in to our conversation. And if you would like to speak with us live on the air, just simply push 1. Or if you're watching via Facebook Live, you can text your message or your comment, and I will make sure that I read it out to each and everyone. Amen. So again, tonight we are talking about Proverbs. We're going to be coming from Proverbs chapter 5 in its entirety. And when we start the actual Bible study, we're going to be using the Message version. And the reason we're going to be using the Message version is because I want to make sure that everyone is crystal clear on what God's word is saying. However, for the actual reading of his word, we are going to be reading, of course, the King James version. Amen. And it reads as follows, Proverbs chapter 5, beginning at the first verse. It says, "My son, attend unto my wisdom and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to dust, her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life. Her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house, lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel. Lest strangers be filled with the wrath, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. And thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof? And have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to them, hallelujah, and cried my ear to them that instructed me. I almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly, drank waters out of thine own cistern and running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad in rivers of water in the street. Let them be only thine own and not strangers with thee. Let the fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as the loving hind in pleasant row. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? For the ways of men are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his going. His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sin. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. And that was Proverbs chapter 5 in its entirety. And as always, we were coming from the King James Version, and we know that the word of the Lord is already blessed. Amen. Again, Proverbs chapter 5 in its entirety. So let us pray. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. We bless you. We praise you. We glorify you. We magnify you this evening, Father. For you and you alone are worthy of the glory, the honor, and the praise, Father. We come this evening, Father, as humble, handmade servants, yet boldly before the throne of glory. We come this evening, Father, with a praise in our hearts and a praise on our lips. We come saying, thank you, Father. Hallelujah, God. We thank you for getting us to this place and this day where your word can go forward. We thank you, Father God, for getting us to this point in this day, Father, for so many who started off this morning with us did not make it to this hour, Father God. So for that, we just say thank you, Jesus. We ask now in the name of Jesus that you would toil the soil of our minds, Father, that you would allow your word to take root on good ground, hallelujah, that the seed of your word will fall on good ground and that it will take root in Jesus' mighty name, Father God, that when we leave from this place but never your presence, we will be walking epistles of your word, Father, not for our upbuilding, not for our building of our names and brands, but for the upbuilding of the kingdom of God, hallelujah, Father. And then, Lord, as I always do, I ask that you would allow the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart to be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer, hallelujah, God. As I sit submissive and surrender to your will this evening, Lord, we ask that you will have your way in the mighty name of Jesus, Father. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah, God. Again, we just thank and bless God for all of you who are joining in with us this evening. Now, as we stated, we are going to be talking from Proverbs chapter 5, but before we can even get into Proverbs chapter 5, we have to first start with who actually wrote Proverbs chapter 5. So let me tell you how the Lord even led me here. I was having a discussion the other day, and the person that I was actually talking to my fiance, and he led me, the Lord led him to lead me to Proverbs chapter 5. It went along with the discussion that he and I were having. And as he led me there, and I read all of Proverbs chapter 5 in its entirety, because, you know, we as believers, we have a habit, like, we'll take a piece from this scripture and a piece from that scripture, and we quote it all the time, and we talk about all the different things that we get from that one piece of the scripture. But we have to realize that that one piece we took out is part of something greater. And when we were looking at Proverbs chapter 5, when I read it, I was like, wow, this is deep, because this man is actually talking about adultery. He's talking about adultery. He's talking about faithfulness. And what it really was he had given a prescription to – he had went to how do I say this? I want to make sure I say this. He basically had went to the spiritual hospital and was given a diagnosis and a prescription, and we see that diagnosis and prescription in Proverbs chapter 5. Amen. So we just thank God and we bless God for that. And when I looked at it and saw that, you know, that in the scripture he was talking about adultery and him doing it, what happened was the Lord said, you know, when people look at that, they just look at the scripture and they see adultery and they move forward. And I know a lot of people are going to hang up, leave off of the thing and everything because I'm talking about a subject that might hit home, not just adultery, because understand, you can cheat on somebody with a lot of things and it doesn't have to be a person. It could be your car, could be what you're committing adultery with, your job, your children, your friends. It could be anything. So God led me to the scripture, and as I was reading it, as I said, I was like, Lord, who wrote this, and what were they going through, or what had they been through that made them write the scripture? So we had to go to King Solomon, and one of the things that I realized in this study is that King Solomon is a piece of work, y'all. Like, I noticed that a lot of ministers, we preach around about Solomon, but we never deal with Solomon directly. And tonight we are going to deal with Solomon directly. And the reason that we're dealing with Solomon directly is because, again, Solomon was a piece of work. But in his being a piece of work and everything that went on, it explains why and how he got to Proverbs chapter 5. Amen. So although we're looking at Proverbs chapter 5, we're going to sort of be in 1 Kings a lot because we're going to be talking about Solomon, because you have to understand who and what Solomon was into to understand why he wrote Proverbs chapter 5. Now, to understand, most people know that King Solomon was the son of King David, and King David was beloved of God. Oh, when I say they had a relationship that was like no other, so much so that God promised to King David was that his descendant would sit on the throne forever. And we know that descendant of King David to be Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Messiah, the God-man. Amen. However, by the time Solomon comes along, and he's the son, again, of King David, and he comes along, and he has been brought up underneath his daddy, and he's seen his daddy do some things that was not necessarily okay with God. But the difference between Solomon and David was, when David would mess up, David would go and repent to God. There's the key, y'all. God said, God knows that man is made of sin. God knows that we mess up. God knows that we make mistakes. However, when he corrects us, if we go back and repent, God is a just and forgiving God. He is a loving God. He is a merciful God. He is a graceful God. Hallelujah. If we go back and repent for the mistakes that we made, God will truly forgive us. However, David would repent. Solomon would not. And so Solomon, when he was placed in charge, when his father was dying, David had given him a charge. And the charge that he basically had given to him, you can read about it in 1 Kings chapter 2, I believe it's verses 3 and 4. And he basically told Solomon, like, listen, son, walk in accordance and in the commands and the ways of God. Continue to follow the Father. Continue to be trained in his teachings and his lessons. Continue to obey the laws of Moses. And, you know, he was giving him good instruction. However, Solomon, although he knew his daddy had a personal relationship with God, and Solomon did truly love God, Solomon did not just walk with God. Hallelujah. Amen. Solomon, as a young man, Solomon did not necessarily follow what his dad had said to them. For an example, Solomon had many wives. A lot of people like to say, oh, well, you know, polygamy was okay in biblical times. God allowed men to take different wives. No, that's not necessarily true. When God created mankind and he instituted the constitution of marriage, he did not, despite the lie that you will hear people tell you, he did not make Adam, Eve, Shelley, Maria, Jackie, and Patricia. He just made Adam, and Eve. Now, you hear some people talk about, I forget how, the lady's name, I don't know why it is slipping my mind, but you'll hear people talk about this story where Adam had a first wife and he didn't like the first, Lilith, that was the name, and he didn't like the first wife, Lilith, and then God took Lilith and gave him Eve. That's not true. That's a mix-up of another story from something else. God made male and female, and after he made male and female, he said, for this reason shall a man leave his mother and father and cling to his wife, and the two shall become as one flesh. Amen. So the first thing that Solomon was doing wrong was that he was living in polygamy. If I'm remembering correctly, the research has showed that Solomon had about 300 or so concubine and about 500 different wives or something around those numbers. And the thing that made it even worse was that these wives he had taken on were wives from neighboring cultures and cities that the Lord had told them not to intertwine with, not to marry into, not to deal with, not because he was showing racial division or hatred against another country, but because they were worshiping idolatry and idols, and he didn't want the women to change the men and to convince them to worship other gods like Solomon's wives had done with Solomon. Amen. So when you get down in the book of 1 Kings, you find out that this is all that was going on with Solomon. Solomon had married all of these wives. The wives had sort of corrupted Solomon. Solomon had temples built up on high places for them to worship, and he would at times worship to false gods. Now, I know somebody's saying, well, what does that have to do with me? Some of us is out there at times worshiping the false gods. You know, if a scratch getting on our car, we losing our mind. If the slightest thing that goes wrong, we are losing our mind. Don't you know that no matter what is happening around you, with you, in you, whatever the situation is, that God is still God who is in control, that he still loves you, that you are still fearfully and wonderfully made. Hallelujah, God, that you are the head and not the tail, that you are above and not beneath, that you, oh, hallelujah, that you just don't understand that God's every thought is on each and every one of us. Hallelujah, God. So what was going on with Solomon was he was worshiping all of these different gods, and he still had a love for God, but he also had a love for these other gods because he wanted to keep his wives happy. And as we all know, that when anything gets messed up at the head, anything attached to the head is going to start to go downhill. Amen. So what happened was, because the king had built these temples for his wives to worship other gods, that meant the people started to worship other gods. And then the people starting to worship other gods, God came and talked to Solomon. Now, this is a part that you always hear ministers talk about. We always talk about the conversation when God showed up and talked to Solomon and was like, hey, anything you want, ask it of me, and I will give it to you. I'm here for you. And we always talk about, you know, how pleased God was. But when I looked into the scripture actually said that the Lord went to visit Solomon because Solomon was doing some things that he was not happy with. Amen. And when he went to visit Solomon, his first thought was, let me give this man some. Let me give him a gift. Like, I've appeared to his father, I appeared to his grandfather, his great grandfather. I'm going to show something. I want to give something to Solomon. And what I want you to notice is that even while Solomon was doing wrong, God still blessed him, not because he was okaying his wrongdoing, but because he was trying to draw him in. Remember that scripture that says, taste and see that the Lord is good? Hallelujah. He was trying to get Solomon to get a real good taste of him, not just those nibbles he got when he heard his daddy praying, but a real good taste of him. So he asked him, what did he want? And Solomon asked for wisdom. And God was pleased with his response, with his answer, and he gave him the wisdom, but he also blessed him with wealth and riches and all of that. But did that change what Solomon was doing? No. He continued to have all of these wives. He continued to worship to false gods. He continued to do all of this stuff. And basically what ended up happening was God had had enough, and God said, you know what? This is what we are getting ready to do. We are getting ready to I'm going to tear the kingdom from you. That's basically it. He said, I'm getting ready to tear the kingdom from you. But because of your father David, I'm not going to take it from you in your lifetime. I'm going to take it from your son in his lifetime. Now, some people go, oh, my God, why would the Lord punish his son if the father is the one messing up? Well, understand, the person who should have been punished was Solomon. And because of the relationship that King David had with King Solomon, that's why Solomon was spared from having to experience that situation. So his son experienced it. And understand, the son had a chance to fix it, but the son who grew up watching his daddy's lifestyle followed in that lifestyle. And that's a whole nother sermon for a whole nother time. So now we come down to King Solomon, and he is closer to the end of his life, and he's looking over things that he has been through. And we get to this particular proverb. And when we get to this proverb, he starts off by saying to them that my son, or if you are in the Message version, it would say my friend. Amen. So we are going to open it up. See, the devil is busy. He is still trying to make us not get through this word, but we are going to get through this word because the Lord has sent me this evening on a mission to make sure that the people of God, the children of God, those of us who are called by God, do not continue to fall down the path that we are falling down. Amen. Because we sometimes get caught up in things, not really realizing that we are being getting caught up. And God is just saying, no, you got to give my people warning today. You got to give my people warning. And I told you when we got to the scripture part, we were actually going to come from the Message version. But, of course, once I went to get there, I could not find the actual Message mm-hmm. version that I had previously recorded. But we are going to keep on moving on. Amen. So now in the Message version, he starts with, dear friend, pay close attention to this, my wisdom. Listen very closely to the way I see it. Then you'll acquire a taste for good sense. What I tell you will keep you out of trouble. Amen. So the first thing he starts with is pay attention to what I'm getting ready to tell you. Pay attention to what it is I have to say. That's what God is saying to some of y'all today. He needs you to pay attention. He needs me to pay attention. He needs us to all pay attention to the wisdom of God. Amen. He said, then he goes on. He says, if you pay attention to God's wisdom, it'll keep you out of trouble. And then it says, the lips of a seductive woman are oh so sweet. Her soft words are also smooth, but it won't be long before she's gravel in your mouth, a pain in your gut, a wound in your heart. She's dancing down the primoso path to death. She's headed straight to hell and taking you with her. She hasn't a clue about real life, about who she is or where she's going. Amen. Now, before I get into the woman part of this, amen, I have to cover and talk about what is actually going on, because one of the things that we don't realize is that when we see the Word of God talking about a woman of any kind, it is talking about that woman, but it's also referring to the church or the body of Christ. You know, and what I want you to understand is, again, although we are talking about women in the scripture tonight, it can be referred to men. Amen. So you could be a man doing something. You could be a wife doing something. It could be a man with seductive lips and tongues just in your ear telling you the things you want to hear or that you need to hear. But God's word is telling you right now that whoever it is, whatever it is, they are dancing you down a path that leads to destruction. And here goes the other thing that somebody might not like. It doesn't have to be a woman or a man, as I said earlier. It could be a organization. It could be a group. It could be anything that would make you question or that would make you turn away from God's word, that would make you have doubts on God's word. You can consider that this seductive woman. Amen. And I realized when I read that and I realized what God is talking about when he says that talking about women in the Bible is referring to the church, there are twice that I see very distinctive descriptions about women in the Bible. And that's Proverbs chapter 31, where it talks about how the woman, how you can be a godly woman, how a woman of God talks well of her husband in the gate, her hands are always busy providing for her household, how she knows how to save money, she knows how to earn. It talks about that righteous woman. Well, right here in Proverbs 5, it talks about this seductive woman. Amen. And some of us are in situations where if you think about it and look at it, you think that you are in something because they keep throwing God's name out. So you think that what they're in is of God, but it don't have nothing to do with God. They're tickling your ears. Remember that scripture that tells us that the day was coming where people would fall away from the church, and I'm paraphrasing, people would fall away from the church and that they would chase after any strange doctrine that tickled their ears and made them feel good about their sinful ways. But I bless and praise God that I serve a God that loves me so much, that I serve a God that loves you so much, that when we go, he ain't going to let us go but so far before he say, I got to pull you back in, because you my child. Hallelujah, God. Some parents out there may know what I'm talking about. You've ever seen your child out in the street acting a fool, and you walked up on them, and you was like, you know better than, you my child. I don't care what nobody else is doing. You're my child. You are to conduct yourself as my child at all times. What I need some of us to remember today, hallelujah, God, is that we are God's children. We are children of God. We do not belong to ourselves. Hallelujah. If you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, hallelujah, God, you were bought with a price. You were bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You are not your own. You are God's child. And no matter what situation we may find ourselves in, we must conduct ourselves as God's child at all times. So as I was saying at the start of it, I'm going to jump back into Proverbs chapter 5, amen? What I was saying at the beginning of it was that with Proverbs chapter 5, when you look at it, you can look at it almost as if you had taken a trip to the hospital, because this first part, as it talks about this seductive woman, as it's talking about this seductive woman, it's literally giving you the prognosis and your diagnosis same time, amen? It's telling you that your problem is this person or this object or this situation that you have gotten yourselves caught up in, wrapped up in, tied up in. That is what the problem is. And what we see going on here is that Solomon is trying to get you to understand is basically, son, I walked down that road and I've fallen into that pit. You don't have to fall into the pit that I've fallen into, hallelujah, God, because God has given us instructions to get around it, amen? So then the seventh verse, and again, we're King James, we're reading from the Message version. It says, so my friend, listen closely. Don't treat my words casually. Keep your distance from such a woman. Absolutely stay out of her neighborhood. You don't want to squander your wonderful life, to waste your precious life among the hard-hearted. Hallelujah. I'm going to say that again. You don't want to squander your life. You don't want to waste your life around the hard-hearted. Someone asked me one time, they said, Pastor Tori, can I ask you a question? How come you got that spirit of goodbye? Like, you'll say what you got to say. You'll drop whatever seeds the Lord gives you to drop. But when he tells you done, you just done. Because my job is not to water anything. That's not my job. That's not what God called me to do. He didn't call me to water the plants. He didn't call me to necessarily toil the soil all the time. That's somebody else's job. Part of that is his job. It's the Holy Spirit job. That's what they're supposed to do. He gave me a job, and my job is the same as your job, to drop the seeds of salvation. Hallelujah, God. Our job is not to get caught up on what type of ground it falls on. Our job is not to get caught up on if the person received the seed or didn't receive the seed. Our job is just to drop the seed. God got somebody else coming right behind us to water it. He got the sun to shine on it. And I'm not talking about the S-U-N. I'm talking about the S-O-N. Hallelujah, God. He has it all prepared for us if we would just walk in accordance to his word. He said, stay away from them. He said, don't even go in their neighborhood. Hallelujah. It's almost like a drug addict. If you know somebody that's ever been strung out on drugs or something like that, a drug addict, the first thing they tell you when you're going into recovery is people, places, and things. You got to stop being around the people you were around. You got to stop going to the places you went through. You got to stop doing the things that you used to do. Hallelujah, God. Well, that's what he's saying right here. He's saying it's your people, your places, and your things. If it's a thing that's hindering you in your walk with Christ, then it's time to let that thing go. If it's a person that's hindering you in your walk with Christ, it's time to let that person go. Hallelujah, God. Whatever it is, there is nothing or no one that is more important or precious than your relationship with God. And how did you obtain that relationship with God, that personal relationship with God? It was through the blood that he shed for you. Hallelujah, God. It was the blood that God shed for you. Let's take all of the titles. Now, I'm going to remove the name Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit for a second. We're just going to talk about God. God loved you so much. God loved me so much that at the end of the day, he decided that when he had seen enough of his creations fall, he put on the form of flesh. He wrapped himself up in flesh and experienced life, not just so that he could experience life, but he experienced life so that he could taste death, not because he wanted to taste death, but because there was nothing perfect on this earth that he could sacrifice to redeem us back from the fallen state that we had gotten into, including some of what we're reading right here in Proverbs 5. But he loved us so much that he put on flesh, laid down his life, hallelujah, God, to the point of the cross, laid in a grave for 3 days, and then broke hell, the grave, and death wide open when he rose again on the third day. And he did all of that for you. And now that he's done all of that for you, here he is in Proverbs saying, yo, stay away from them people. Don't go around them. You don't have to be in their neighborhoods. You don't have to talk to them. You don't have to associate with them because their job is to pull you down. Hallelujah. I know they talking to you about all the stuff you want to hear. I know they saying all the little sweet right things to you. I know your car is just brand spanking new and you got the best insurance and you got them real nice rims. I know you just got that six-figure job and it's just doing the thing for you. But understand this, if you don't get your soul right with Jesus Christ, all of that's going to end you on a slow fall to hell. Hallelujah, God. I know somebody don't like it, especially this part I'm about to say right now, because there's some folk that sits in sanctuaries every Sabbath morning. There are folk that sits in sanctuaries every Sunday morning. They're going to bust hell wide open because they don't have this personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And that ain't what Toy said. That's what God said. So if you got an issue with it, get on your knees tonight and take it up with him. Hallelujah, God. So we have here, he says, stay away from them. Stay away from them. Then he asked the question, why should you allow strangers to take advantage of you? Why be exploited by those who care nothing for you? Do y'all understand what God is saying? He is saying we are letting naysayers come into our circles and steal our blessings. Hallelujah. He said, you don't want to end your life full of regrets. Nothing but sin and bones. Now, understand, he didn't say skin and bones. You hear us say that, oh, they just skin and bones. Oh, Lord, by the time they passed away, they had wasted the skin and bones. Jesus, God's word doesn't say skin and bones right here. It says sin, S-I-N. You will end, will be full of regrets, and you will have nothing but sin and bones, saying, oh, why didn't I do what they told me? Why did I reject a disciplined life? Why didn't I listen to my mentors or take my teachers seriously? My life is ruined. I haven't one blessed thing to show for my life. And that is where you will end if we keep running after these things who are set up and what are set up to distract us from the love of God. Hallelujah. Then the next verse, starting at 11, we're starting at, I believe, this is 15. And again, we are in the message version. If you are just joining in, I just want to take this time to welcome you. We are on Blog Talk Radio, www.blogtalkradio.com/purposekingdom. We are also broadcasting simultaneously through Facebook Live. We thank and bless God for everyone who is joining in with us this evening. Now, the next verse says, do you know the sayings? Drink from your own rain barrel. Draw water from your own spring-fed well. It's true. Otherwise, you may one day come home and find your barrel empty and your well polluted. Y'all better listen to what God is saying. He has given us that which we are out there looking for. Amen. He is giving us that which he has already given us that which we are out in the streets seeking to find. Amen. Hallelujah. He says it right here in his word. He says the first, thank you, Lord, the first prescription that you have to find, and you should write this down, is to just stay away from it. Hallelujah. Is to stay in your own well, to drink from your own barrel, to drink from your own cup. Hallelujah. To stay with your own spouse, to love your spouse as you love yourself. Hallelujah, God. To love God more than anything or anybody. Hallelujah, God. He says your spring water is for you and you alone, not to be passed around among strangers. Bless your fresh flowing fountain. In other words, don't take for granted that which you have. Hallelujah. We do that so many different times, so many different ways, and sometimes we don't even realize that we're doing it. Amen. We'll get caught up in what other people have or what other people are getting or what other people look like, and we'll put down ourselves or we'll put down our significant others, we'll put down family, we'll put down everything because we think the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. But what I want you to understand is, yes, the grass does look greener. Yes, the grass may appear to be greener, but what usually happens is when you get to the other side of the fence, the reason that grass looks greener is because it's artificial grass. Hallelujah. Some of y'all won't catch that after this is over. Some of y'all are going through different things, and the things that y'all are going through, you are going through it because you are caught up looking at something that's artificial, and you got the real thing, which, right? Hallelujah, God, hallelujah. I was sitting there. Anybody that knows me know I have a thing. I'm not trying to get no car note. I'm not trying to do no big car notes, things like that. I always say, Lord, bless me with a car that can get me from point A to point B. I don't have to look pretty. I don't have to spend $900 a month so I can look good driving down the street. I just got to get to where I have to get to. Amen. That has always been me. And the other day I was with a friend of mine, and I was in their car, and this beautiful car, beautiful car. And I said, like, well, you know, not to be nosy, but what's the note for this a month? And they was like, oh, man, this thing run me almost $500 a month. I said, that's just the car note? And they were like, yeah, that's just the car note. I said, and then what's your insurance? Well, you know, I had to have full coverage because this is a new car. So that altogether, I would say I come up almost $1,000 a month for the car. I was like, wow, and that don't include gas or maintenance or nothing like that. And they said, no, that doesn't include none of that. And I was sitting there and I was thinking about it. And as I was driving down the street, and somebody had seen me in my car, and they was like, oh, you need to trade that in. And I was like, why? It still runs. It still do everything I needed to do. When I get in the car and close the door, the doors were closed. When I turned the key, the car would start up. When I put my foot on the gas, the car would go. When I wanted to go in reverse, it did everything I needed it to do. And then what happened was maybe 2-3 weeks later, they had called me up and they was like, yo, you know, my car just broke down. It's going to cost me this amount of money to get my car fixed. And I was like, wow, that's a lot of money. I said, that's a lot of money. I said, you know what's funny, though, because when we were in the car talking about your car the other day, you were laughing at me and telling me how I needed to get rid of my car. They was like, yeah. But I said, but no, I just want you to understand something. What was broke down looking to you
is still up, running, and working, and doing all that it was made to do. It doesn't look right to you. It's an old car. That car done lived through some things. It done been through some things, but it still did the job that it was created to do. But that brand new car that you went out and got, that you traded your old car in for, and that note that you got, it's not even working now, and they're talking about thousands of dollars before you can even get it to run again. What does that have to do with this scripture right here when it's talking about stay in your own barrel, stay in your, drink from your own fountain, drink from your own barrel? It's the same thing. God has given you what you need, but because it doesn't match up to what somebody else has decided you should have, you want to go out and get it. Sometimes I want to go out and get it. Everybody laughs at my phone. I got a little, look, y'all, a little iPhone 5, right? Little iPhone 5, iPhone 5C or S, whatever you call it, small phone, little phone, and it's a 5, so it's old as dirt. However, the phone still does what I need the phone to do. If I call a number and put it to my ear and say hello, I usually get an answer. When the phone rings, if I answer it, I usually get an answer. Now, yes, does everybody tease me about I need to get a new phone? Yes. Do I probably need to get a new phone? Yes. But am I going to rush out to get a new phone so that I can fit in with society's discussions or decisions on what is or is not okay? Same in life. We go through a difficult period and we think, oh, it's time to trade it in. I'm glad that spouses aren't like cars. I'm glad that when you get to a certain amount of miles, you can't just go and say, okay, I'm trading this wife in, or I'm trading this husband in for a newer model, or a better model, or a faster model, or a younger model. Or I'm glad it's not like that. And what's more important is that I'm glad that salvation is not like that. Because although we would never be willing to trade in God, oh, when I tell you we done some things that I'm more than sure, I've got to be sitting there some days going, I should have traded them in. And then Jesus speaks up and go, yeah, but you did. You traded them in with my blood. Hallelujah, God. If you think about all the times that God stepped in for you and fixed it just for you, hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We have to get to that place where we accept that we have what God has given to us, that we are going to get that which God has given to us. Amen. And then what it ends with was, if you don't stay in your own barrel, you're going to come home one day and find that your barrel has been polluted. In other words, don't let what you're doing destroy your children. Don't let what you're doing destroy your family. Look at what I was telling you about King Solomon. King Solomon was sinning, but his son bared the punishment for it. Now, yeah, he was doing his own dirt throughout that time, but his son bared the punishment. And why did his son end up bearing the punishment? Because he was looking at how his daddy was living. And because he was looking at how his daddy was living, and he felt like, oh, well, this must be cool. Daddy ain't running into no problems or situations. I'm good. So, we need to watch what we're doing, because there are generations under us watching us. Hallelujah, God. Because remember, the scripture said that he didn't take it from Solomon during his lifetime. He took it from Solomon's son during his son's lifetime. And the reason he took it from his son and not what's the son's name? Rehoboam. He took it from the son Rehoboam instead of from Solomon. And Solomon was only spared from it being taken from him, not because God had so much love and respect for Solomon, but God had so much love and respect for Solomon's daddy, who was King David. Hallelujah. Now you go down to the next verse, I believe it's 17. It says, your spring water is for you and you only, not to be passed around among strangers. Bless your fresh flowing fountains. Enjoy the wife you married as a young man, lovely as an angel, beautiful as a rose. Don't ever quit taking delight in her body. Never take her love for granted. Amen. Then it goes on to say, why would you trade enduring intimacy for cheap thrills with a whore? That's what the word says. It says it right there. I don't want y'all to think I made that up. Now, here go the part that I want you to understand again. And what he's saying, remember, this could be a male or a female, although the word is talking about a woman. What God is saying is that we have to hold on to that first love, and not just that first love with our spouses. Some of us, believe it or not, some of us are committing adultery on God.
Ain't nobody going to say nothing on that one, I know. Some of us are committing adultery on God. Let me break this down. If we are the body of Christ and the church of God, and the church of God is supposed to be the bride of Christ, that means that Christ is coming back to get the church, the bride, one day, which means that we are betrothed in a spiritual sense into a marriage contract with God. That's why he provides for us. That's why he keeps us. That's why he takes care of us. That's why we are in a contract with God through Jesus Christ. Yet, what do? We become the whore and we start running around on God. We start cheating on God. We start forgetting that God is the reason that we're even here today. I mean, think about it. This is now 2021. From almost February of 2020 to now February of 2021, for the past year, we have been living through a global pandemic. When you think of all of the people who have lost their lives during this global pandemic, some of us were around some of them. Some of us were in the same rooms with people who had contacted this disease, and it never came near us. Why? Because of Psalms 91 and 10, hallelujah, and Psalms 91 and 7, where it said, though thousands may fall on our right side and thousands on our left, that will not come near us, but we will watch God's dealing with the wickedness of this world. And that was a paraphrase. And then 91 and 10, Psalms 91 and 10 says, no disease or sickness shall enter into my dwelling place, and no evil shall befall me, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, God. And we right there and stuff, and it never comes near us. Why? Because of Jesus Christ, because of the relationship that I have with the God that I serve, because I'm in a marriage contract with him that cannot be broken. I cannot play the whore on God, hallelujah. I can't run around with any and everything. I can't let all types of craziness get into my ear gates. I can't let all types of craziness get into my eye gates. Why? Because the word of God tells us right here in Proverbs 5, we need to stay away from some stuff. We need to come from among some stuff. We don't even need to go into the neighborhood, the neighborhood of some stuff. You know, I brought me to a conversation. My fiance and I was talking one day about vacations, and I said, you know, I've never been to Las Vegas, and we were talking about Las Vegas, and as we were talking about Las Vegas, he said, yeah, well, you know, some places God just don't want his children to go. We don't even have a reason to go there. What are we going to do in Vegas? It's nothing to do there except for what they do in Vegas. That's why I'm saying what's done in Vegas stays in Vegas. It's the same thing. God is telling us to stay away from it. We don't need to go around it. We don't need to be near it. We don't need to be in front of it. We just need to trust the God that we serve. We need to love God the way that we loved God when we first fell in love with God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, when you first fall in love, all you want to do is be around that person. You just want to talk to that person. You always want to be in that person's presence. You just always, that's how we need to get back to with God. We need to get far back in love with the spouse of our youth, with the God of our youth, with the Christ that saved us. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now the verse goes on to say, it said to love her, to never take her love for granted. Then it goes, why would you trade enduring intimacies for cheap thrills with a whore? For dalliances with a promiscuous stranger. Mark well that God doesn't miss a move you make. He's aware of every step you take. The shadow of your sin will overtake you. You'll find yourself stumbling all over yourself in the dark. Death is the reward of an undisciplined life. Your foolish decision traps you in a dead end. It's real simple, y'all. God is telling you to come out. God is telling us to come out from all of those things that we hold on to. It may not be, as I keep saying, it does not have to be a female. It does not have to be a male. It cannot be. It does not have to be a spouse cheating on a spouse or a cheating relationship. It could be you in your walk, your daily, everyday walk with God. He's saying, listen, what are y'all doing? I see what you're doing. Let me put it this way,
And then we're going to go into the call of salvation. Amen. Let me put it this way for you. God is omniscient and omnipresent and omnipotent. That means he's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. But I want to deal with that omnipresent for a second. Omnipresent means that he is in all places at all times. So what you have to understand is that if God is in all places at all times, every step you make, you are walking through God. Every step you make, you are walking with God. Every step you make, you are walking in and out of God, because he is in all places at all times. So if he's in all places at all times, don't you know when you're doing your dirt? Don't you know when you're sinning? Don't you know when you're messing up that God is right there? Y'all don't see that? Like if I'm laying with somebody, being intimate, and it's somebody I'm not supposed to be with, don't you know God right there? Because he's omnipresent, so he's right there in the room with you. He's right there on the bed with you. Guess what? He's a thin line in between you and that person, because he's omnipresent. He's in all places. It's that simple. We walk in God every day. That's why I love the song. I never heard the song until Evangelist Mary Scott brought it to my attention, but I love that song. You are the air I breathe, because when you are really understanding the omnipresence of God, that he is in all places at all times, and you get to, then you realize that, yes, he is the air I breathe. Yes, he is the breath I take. Yes, he is every step I make. Hallelujah. When you get to the place that you trust him beyond trust, when you get to that place that you don't feel like you can stand any longer, but you look and see that yourself is, that you are still standing, and you realize, guess what? That's not me, but that's the God in me. That's because he's all places at all times. There's nowhere you can go to hide from God. There's nowhere. The word of God says if you were to hide and make your bed in the deepest of the ocean, he would be there. If you were to climb the highest mountain, he would be there. Guess what? If you made your bed in the depth of hell, he would be there. There is nowhere you can get away from God. So you might as well embrace him. You might as well accept him. You might as well love him, because he loves you. And what was his one instruction? He said, stay away from him. Don't talk to him. Stay away from him. Don't talk to him. Don't go around him. Don't even go in their neighborhood. Whatever that thing is, whoever that person may be, if you want to be cured from what you might be dealing with or going through, the first step is to love God with your whole heart. Your next step is to stay away from those negative influences. And the last step is to remember what God said right here. Why would you trade all that God has given you for a slow fall to hell? I know somebody said, that's not how he said it, but that was my interpretation. What he said was, the shadow of your sin will overtake you. You will find yourself stumbling all over yourself in the dark. Death is the reward of an undisciplined life. Your foolish decisions trap you into a dead end. So I like my paraphrase. Why give up all that God has blessed you with for a slow fall to hell when you don't have to? If some people out there tonight, this evening, listening in, they might be sitting there saying that they've never had a relationship with God. They've never had a personal relationship with him. They don't understand how to obtain one. They have been going through so many different difficulties in their life. It could be anything. Whatever it is that you might be out there going through this evening, this is the time in our ministry that we do every night. We call it the call of salvation. We offer Jesus Christ to you. We just give the same call that he gave to us. And what I love about God's word is that his word puts a clause in there that covers everybody. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." That's the first part. That God loved us, and because he loved us, he gave his son. Now, here comes the clause. It says that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. The clause is whosoever. Whosoever covers everything and everybody. Whosoever does not care about your economic situation and does not care about how much money you may have in your bank accounts. Whosoever does not care about your culture nor your color or your race. It does not care about your ethnic background. Whosoever does not care what sins you may have committed. Hallelujah. Whosoever covers everybody. Now understand, whosoever does not mean you may not have to pay some penalties for those things you've done wrong, but whosoever covers everybody. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but can have everlasting life. Now somebody out there just went, well, people die every day, and I know people that are saved that they die. So how do they perish if they love the Lord? Understand what I'm saying to you. Our flesh decays because it has been appointed unto man once to die, but after death comes the judgment. And what God has told me to let everyone out there listening to me this evening, listening to us this evening, whether it be through the broadcast on Blog Talk Radio or if you are joining us through live stream, God has told me to let you know that he loves each and every one of you, and that although this flesh may perish, there is something greater than just your flesh. You are not a physical being having a spiritual experience. You are actually spiritual beings having a physical experience. And when this flesh dies, your spirit lives on. Hallelujah, God. And the question is, where will it live? Who will it live with? Will you be in the presence of God, or will you be out of God's presence? Because that's truthfully what hell is. Hell is being is God totally turning and casting you away. Somebody, oh, God wouldn't do that. Y'all better read that book again. Yes, he will. Yes, he has. And yes, he does. But he's also given us the opportunity to come unto him. And it's nothing that's hard to do. You don't have to figure out, like, you know, you don't have to wash 1,000 times a day, find which direction to go to pray in, or turn around, spin around, and jump up. It doesn't require none of that. It requires one thing. If you believe in your heart and confess out of your mouth, what is it that you got to believe? That God is who he said he is. That you have to believe that God loved you so much that he took on the form of man. You have to believe that in the form of man, he laid his life down on the old rugged cross. You have to believe that he rose again and that he ascended back into the hands of the Father, and that in the last day he will come again. Notice I didn't say days, plural. I said that last day he will come again. Hallelujah, God. And if you would like to make that pledge of faith, that prayer of faith, it's just simple. You can say this prayer after me, or you can say your own prayer. You just simply say, Father God, I come to you this evening accepting the gift of your son Jesus. I ask him to come into my life. I ask him to forgive me of my sins, and I ask him to begin to make me new. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you said that prayer, remember it said if you believe in your heart and confess it out your mouth. Just tell somebody. You don't have to wait until Sunday morning, Sabbath worship, Bible study, prayer service. That's about a church membership. But about a relationship, you just tell somebody, hey, I gave my life to Christ today. And according to God's word, as soon as you do that, you are saved, and we welcome you to the kingdom of God. Now, of course, we encourage you to find the Bible Believing, Teaching, Preaching Sanctuary, where you can grow in the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and heal from the trials and the tribulations of this world. But until you do, bless God, that's why he has Purpose Kingdom Network here for you. We're going to have Brother Robert come on the air. He is going to give us some announcements for Purpose Kingdom Network on how you can continue to follow us. I'm not sure if our live stream is going to be able to hear the announcement. However, if y'all stay with us on the live stream, we will be back in to close us out. Amen. Brother Robert, you there?
Yes, yes. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Wow. All this was packed in 1 hour. Real quickly, I'll go ahead and do the announcements. This is the Product Purpose Kingdom Network. We'd like to thank each and every one of you for joining us tonight's episode, no matter where in the world you are. We thank you so much for your support and your listenership. We thank you for those that share and tell their family members and friends that we are on and broadcasting live. We thank you so much. If you want to contact us here via email, you can contact us at purposekingdomnet@gmail.com, where you can send your comments, questions, concerns. You can simply say hello and send a prayer request. We gladly honor that. We're also on Instagram and Twitter at purpose_kingdom. We also invite you to like us on our Facebook page, which is at Facebook or under Purpose Kingdom. We thank you so much for those that share with your friends and family members. And also don't forget that we have advertisements in our upcoming shows that let you know that when we're broadcasting next. We thank you so much. Anytime you want to hear any of our past or previous broadcasts, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/purposekingdom. And anytime you just want to hear a particular show, you just simply type in the host name or the show name. You can hear that show in its entirety and at your convenience. And we thank you so much. And with God's will and God's blessing, we hope you join us tomorrow evening at the 8 p.m. hour for The Turning Point by Elder Charles Lee and Reverend Maureen Lee. And we thank you so much for sharing with your friends and family members. Also, we'd like to thank those that have chose to like us on that purple icon button on their iPhone. And right now we have a 4.5 rating, and we just thank you so much for just giving us that rating. And also, please don't forget to leave a comment. We thank you so much. And with that being said, I'm going to turn the program over back to Pastor Toy.
Thank you so much, Brother Abba, for those announcements. Again, I'm not sure if you heard everyone on Facebook, but we are inviting you to join in with us tomorrow evening at 8 p.m. We will be blog talking again right here at www.blogtalkradio.com/purposekingdom. We will be broadcasting The Turning Point with Elder Charles and Reverend Maureen Lee. You do not want to miss this husband and wife dynamic duo of God. Amen. I just thank and bless God for all of you who joined in with us this evening, whether it was via blog talk or if it was via the Facebook live stream. I thank you. I pray that God's word touched you, that it helps you, that it helps me, that it just does what God's word is meant to do, to clean us up, to straighten us up, to fix us up. Amen. So I just thank and bless God for all that he has done this evening. We have Mother Janice here with us this evening. And this is how we are going to do it, because we are simultaneous. So we are going to have Mother Janice come on. She is going to close us out in prayer via blog talk. So, Mother Janice, if you can come on and close us out in prayer via blog talk, and then what I'll do is while she's closing us out via blog talk, we are going to have Brother Robert to mute my line on blog talk, and I'm going to close us out simultaneously in prayer on the live stream. Amen. So, Brother Robert, if you can mute my line again, thank you, everyone, for joining in. And Mother Janice, the ministry's in your hands to close us out in prayer.
Praise the Lord, Pastor Toy. Wonderful, wonderful word of God. And I just want to thank you for that wonderful word. Our Father, which art in heaven, I come to you, Lord, as always I know how. Lord, I'm asking you, Lord, please protect us, keep us safe and sound from any hurt, harm, or danger. Lord, I just want to thank you, Lord, for that wonderful word tonight from Pastor Toy, Lord Jesus. Lord, just please continue on covering us and keeping us safe and sound, Lord Jesus. Lord, I know that you're the way, the truth, and the life, Lord. You said asking it should be given, and knocking the door should be open, and seeking we shall find. Right now, Lord Jesus, I'm asking you as humble as I know how, Lord Jesus, to spread your wings around the world, Lord Jesus. Touch your children, Lord Jesus. Heal them, Lord. Give them strength, knowledge, and understanding, Lord. Let them know that you're coming back for your church without a spot or a wrinkle, Lord Jesus. Let them know that you're in the winds, Lord Jesus, and all they have to do is just lift their heads up to the hills, and from the hills their help will come, Lord. Let them know, Lord, that you're there for them in their times of need, Lord Jesus. Just please, Jesus, I just know that you are the way, the truth, and the life. And I just want to thank you, Lord, for loving me so much, Father God. I want to thank you, Father God, for loving me so much that you sent your only begotten Son to come down here in the world and to save the world. And I want to thank you, Jesus, for loving me so much that you accepted to die so that I may be saved, so that we may be saved. And I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you. So please, Jesus, continue on loving us, continue on protecting us and guiding us, Lord. And please, Lord, just continue on spreading your word around the world. Continue on with Purpose Kingdom to spread your word so that people may come to you and be saved and fall to their knees and ask for forgiveness and accept you into their lives. Because I do believe that you are the way, the truth, and the life. I know. And I just want to thank you. I want to thank you. I want to thank you. It is in your mighty name, Jesus Christ, that I do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah, Lord.
Jesus bless.
He raised me. I will not lose. He saved me. I will not lose. Never want to see me down. I will not lose.